Welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki. I am so grateful to be here with you tonight. We discuss issues to help you walk your soul's pilgrimage in your own authentic way. Sharing the path with your angels and spiritual guides gives you the comfort and security of always knowing you are not alone. You are invited to visit my website at livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal, a place of self-discovery. The show airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. Call in or just listen during our inspirational discussions from guests around the world and from Dr. Vicki, a counselor of law and spirituality. And now, Living Your Soul's Journey. Hello and welcome to Living Your Soul's Journey. We all live a journey from the very beginning and each lifetime till we change energies again and then we start a new journey. And tonight, we are definitely going to be talking about relationships on each of your soul's journey. My special guest this evening has written the King's Book of Numerology on love relationships. The hidden truths revealed in this groundbreaking book will transform your life and give you the necessary tools to create the loving relationships you so desire. Welcome, Richard Andrew King. How are you this evening?
Dr. Vicki, I'm well, thank you. And thanks so much for having me once again. I appreciate it, as always.
Well, I love the name of this book, and I love the fact that you are writing about love relationships in a way that people can understand. Because as you and I both know, love is what makes the world go around, but it also can make things kind of bumpy.
to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, there was something that you had said earlier that if I had just read this book, or at least confirmed with you on some issues before I got into a few of my relationships, things might be a little different, but I did survive and you helped me through it. So I am forever grateful for that. So, but I'm excited to talk to you about lots tonight. And it's just fascinating to me that you create these incredible books and you've written so many of them. We'll get into a little bit more about some of the other ones, but tonight I want to talk about the King's Book of Numerology, just on the love relationships. And give us just a brief summary of what your book is about.
Okay, the King's Book of Numerology, Volume 6, Love Relationships, is also known in short as KBN6. So if I refer to that, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It's basically a relationship compatibility guide, which teaches you step-by-step the simple process of determining the compatibility of any relationship, partnership, and especially marriage, because marriage is arguably the most critical relationship any of us will ever have. This is why having the information that I share in KBN6 is so vitally important for people to have before they even get engaged. And the great thing about the process is that it only takes a few minutes to discern if a person is Mr. or Mrs. Right. So KBN6 is actually divided into two parts. Part one is my book, Your Love Numbers. So that whole book is included as part one in KBN6. And that book is still available on Amazon through my website also. Part one teaches the basic formulas, principles, secrets, and processes of how to put these grids together, these relationship charts together. Of course, it's in KBN6. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to buy Your Love Numbers. You can just buy this book. And it's very easy to follow. If you can add one and one, you can understand what I'm sharing with you in this book. And then part two, which is really critical, I believe, is new. It involves case studies of marriages, which are divided into three sections. Section A are excellent rated marriages. Part B are celebrity marriages that ended in divorce with people whom we know. And part C are Hollywood marriages that have endured and have been successful throughout the term of the people who have been living in Hollywood. And these case studies in part two are vital because they prove the theories and formulas that are offered in part one. That's why I love the way this book is laid out. It's impossible to see these case studies and not think that this the formulas are not accurate. They are, and that's what I hope people will come to understand, to use these formulas so they can make better relationships for themselves. If they're going to get married, for example, or if they're going to get engaged, I absolutely believe that they should take a little time, read this book. It doesn't take long. It's a pretty simple process. Then they will know if the person they're going to marry is going to be the right person for them, and vice versa. Both people have got to have their own fulfillment in the relationship. Sometimes we have only one person in a relationship that loves the other, and the person says, why can't you love me back? And the reason is that the numbers, the energies, just don't work one to the other. They've got to be good for both people, and that's what this book teaches.
Well, what would you do, Rich, if somebody were to call you up and say, you know, I want a session with you. I'm in love with Susie or Bob or whatever, and I just kind of want to, you know, see what we can do best to make the relationship work. But yet you see that, whoa, I mean, maybe it'll be a good relationship for a year or two, but maybe not after that. I mean, how does that all mesh together?
Well, to answer your question first, if somebody is interested, they can contact me through my website, richardking.net, or my email, rich@richardking.net. I would talk to them. All I would need would be their full birth names and birth dates. They're the ones they were born with. And then I would set up a chart. I would analyze it from my 36 years of experience. I would write down some notes. I would send it to them. And then we would have a consultation session where I would describe it to them, and they could ask questions. So that's basically how the system works. Now, if I came across a chart, for example, of some people who wanted to get married, and I didn't see it was going to work, I would tell them up front that this is not going to work. Now, it's not all relationships are excellent. You can have some very good relationships that can last a lifetime, but there are relationships that just will never have a chance to make it because there's not enough of what I call MER, or mutual energetic resonance, between the two partners. Sometimes, and this is very important, I'll give an example. A person who I know went through a divorce. She and her husband have been married for 15 years. In the first part of his chart, his first EPC triad, we call it, he had all eights in his chart. In her chart, her soul energy was an eight, and her life path was an eight. So she wanted the soul energy, and people need to know this. This is the number one key in all great relationships. The soul energy must be fulfilled for each person. If it's not, the person's not going to be happy. So what happened was they got married while he was in this period of his life that was all eights. And then when he moved out of that period, she said that he's no longer the same person that I married, and she filed and got a divorce. The issue, though, is that when you look at their charts together, had they gone through and just taken the time to understand this science of numeric coding as it applies to relationships, she would have known that that marriage was not going to last. Now, it did last. It was destined, and that's the key. It was destined to happen. But that does not mean that people can't come first and then get this information. It could be in their destiny to get the information and then act on that. In your case, it was destined for you to go through the last marriage you had and not contact me. So there's no fault there. That was just the way your destiny played itself out. But I'm hopeful that when people understand this science, they will first address it before they get engaged, and let alone married, and then to make sure that that marriage is going to be a good marriage, is because there are far too many divorces today and too many unhappy homes and broken hearts and so on and so forth. So I'm trying to help people put an end to that by creating great marriages before they ever begin. People can know that they're going to work.
Well, what would someone do, though? Now, this has always been a question that I've had, and I won't use names, but I know someone personally that's was adopted in, I can't remember the country they were adopted in, but their parents have chosen not to share that data with this guy. And he will never know, to my knowledge, what his birth name was. He knows the name that was given to him when he was adopted. And can that throw it off? I mean, he will never know that other name because they've chosen to get rid of that birth certificate and not have that a part of his existence.
Well, now you're getting into the weeds because we'd have to assess. First of all, we need to see that name in order to look at his destiny and compare it with his current name. That's like signing a blank contract in my mind. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, let's get married, but I'm not going to tell you everything I've done in my past. And we want to see if the energies resonate one to the other, and we can't know that unless we have those names. Now,
but he might not know whatever either. That's
correct. And but then there's the rub, and I didn't want to get too deeply into this, but we'd have to. The naming of a child, and this is it goes off course here a little bit, but the intent of naming the child is to bring that child in with that name. In naming children, I recommend that parents do keep an archival name, which is the true name of the child, and then put another name or a similar name on the birth certificate, but not the actual name. That way, people can really never know, and governments and bureaucracies can never know what your destiny is. Because once people know your destiny, it's a violation of privacy. So I don't want to even go there, but basically we need to have those names of the people in order to establish a correct chart. I would tell somebody, I just can't help you because I could do it on your common name, but that may not be the case unless I can see the other name also.
Well, what prompted you to write this book? I mean, what is the actual purpose of love relationships?
Well, the actual purpose is to help people make better relationships, better marriages, to understand the marriages that they're in, even understand the relationships they have with their children. Love relationships can be anything. It can even be business relationships. The book addresses love relationships, but you can still work it for relationships between parent and child, between a business partner and another business partner to see if you're going to get along. Any two people, you could match them up energetically to see if the relationship is going to be good, bad, resonating, inharmonious, and so on and so forth. Now, how did I get involved? I've always had my whole life a desire to understand the secrets of life. I come from the school of thought that order is the first law of the universe. And so I have been on a quest to find these answers. In fact, I have been married twice and divorced twice, almost been single now for almost a quarter of a century. But I never wanted to be divorced once, let alone twice. But when these things happen, I want to find reasons as to why they are happening. And so I went on a journey to discover this by doing my own research. I began back in the early 80s, and I would start by doing any relationships I could get between people, but I wasn't seeing any legitimate data from that. So I created two criteria. One, I wanted to find people who had been married for at least 10 years. So they had a bound contract, one to the other. And then the other thing I wanted them, when I asked them to rate their marriage on a scale of 1 to 10, they would say 10 immediately. I didn't want anything less than a 10. So I'd be working with people who had been married and committed for at least 10 years who said, we have a 10 rated relationship. And then it took me 3.5 years to find 21 couples that fit that mode. And however, after the third relationship, I started seeing these same correspondences show up in their charts. And it is true to this day. People have certain combinations of numbers that work really well and others that don't. And the ones that have these 10 rated relationships almost invariably have the same keys, the same principles, which I mention in the book. And I tell you what those are. I show you how to create them. They're very easy to see. And then that's how I got started. And then I ended up holding this information for 20 years or so because, like you, I felt, well, it's destiny, and I really can't help people because I know if they're destined to get married, they're going to get married, and I can't stop that. However, in my ignorance, which is quite large, I did not realize that What if it is in people's destinies to use the information that I gained to create good marriages? And when I realized that, I decided that this needed to be shared with the public. It's really profound information. There's nothing like it. And when you see that people's relationships are really energetic, and those energies are defined by the letters and numbers of their name, and it all works, then people will start using this to eventually have better marriages, more better marriages, and fewer divorces, and all the pain, suffering, sorrow, turmoil for everybody that goes with divorces. Because I just, it's painful to go through that. So that's the purpose and why I wrote the book and how I got started doing it.
Well, I have to make a comment on why I think it's so painful. One is just it's painful. But two is I think, as a lawyer, I can say this, I think that the lawyers don't help to make it less painful.
So I agree.
That's a different subject altogether. But
I agree.
But I think when two people know that it's time to end, then they can easily resolve it much better if they don't have lawyers involved. But if one of them is not able to do that, then obviously they have to have lawyers involved. So now I want to ask you, what is like, okay, let's just say which is really making things up, but let's just say that I have fallen in love with someone and I want to think about marriage, but you know, it's far beyond, I mean, it's already, the process is already in the works. And I call you up and I say, you know, Rich, talk to me, you know, and you obviously would need your partner. Otherwise it's not going to work if there's just one of you, I would say. But
well, excuse me for interrupting, but not in the beginning. If you were to send me your full birth data and the male's first full birth data that you're interested in, I could create a chart and tell you if that was going to work before it ever went further.
Okay. All
now,
right.
Now that said, if people are married and having issues, which is common in marriages, they could have a mutual session and I could show each of the partners where the issues were so they could address them and manage the relationship better and maybe not throw it away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to use myself for an example because I don't mind you using it. When I did call you, and it was already too late, but you told me later, which I now know, I could sense it, that there were some serious issues. And how do you deal with that? I mean, just so that if someone's calling you, they want to talk to you, but they're almost afraid because they're concerned that, what if it isn't right? And they know there's a problem. But I mean, I knew there was a problem because I don't want to go into the detail of it, but I knew there were issues and you addressed them. But how do you handle that? Begin the actual process of how to determine that.
Well, I think it's just becoming realistic. If something's not going to work, it's not going to work. So often in charts, you see how energy flows from one person to another, but not from the other person back. So this is where we get unrequited love. And it's better to know up front so you don't waste all the time, the effort, the money, the years, the devotion to something that's not going to work in the long run. Just like that example I used earlier where this couple got married, but if they had known, of course, destiny being aside, right? But if they had known that it wasn't going to work after a certain time, why go through all that? Because they have children. The children are teenagers. They're suffering. Everybody suffers. Nobody wins. And then you've got that whole thing to deal with for the rest of your life. Now, if that's in somebody's destiny, so be it. They won't contact me. They'll just close their eyes and go about their life if that's what's in their destiny to do. But if I think they're wise, they'll get a hold of this information. They can read the book and get a lot of information from that. I also do consulting and then see if this is going to work. Because if it's not going to work, I will tell you. I remember did a couple, this is, I don't know how many years ago, 16, 17 years ago, for a couple kids. And they were in their early 20s. And I did a quick relationship chart for them. And it was an awesome chart. And I told them right then, I said, look, it's never going to get better than this. The grass is not greener on the other side, so you need to trust your instincts. And they did. That's the last I heard from them, but I assume they got married. I assume they're probably still happily married unless death took one of them or something like that. But when people have enough of this mutual energetic resonance, MER, between them, they won't get divorced because they're both going to get what they want. And when somebody gets what they want, why would they look elsewhere? It's when we don't get what I want, what we want, that things start going south. And then they split apart and all of that. So somebody's got to be realistic. Is this going to work? And if I say no, then I'm not telling them what to do. I will tell them that I don't think it's going to work. That's my suggestion. They're welcome to do what they want to do. And they will do, because that's what their destiny will cause them to do.
Right. Well, I know recently in the news, some profound couple affected, I'm sure all of us, was President Reagan and Nancy. I mean, I listened to their children at their service, at Nancy's service, and they were almost excluded in a way, the loved, but excluded, because those two were so exceptionally connected.
They were.
That was very unusual.
They were. And if you go to my website, richardking.net, and go to the numerology section, and then from there go to the article section, I did write an article on their marriage, and they had a very good marriage, and people can see the numbers that made their marriage work. Marriages are not happenstance, and it has nothing to do with whether two people are good or bad. You could have two people that are A-class individuals, but just not create a good marriage. You could have two people that are thieves and robbers and dacoits and all of that, and they could have a great relationship because their energies would work together. So there's no morality or ethics involved in number. Numbers are numbers. They represent energy fields. They have nothing to do with the consciousness level of the individual. So that is important. So people could go read that article and get a feeling for what it's like to have a chart done, because I show you what a mix and match chart is in that article. RichardKing.net, numerology, and the numerology articles.
Okay. Well, in your work as a numerologist, you know, you've mentioned tonight as well that, you know, that marriages are destined, some of them.
All of them.
So how does that idea work with using numerology to choose the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, or so you think? I don't think anybody marries to think they're going to be with somebody for 5 years. They marry for life. So how do you kind of put that together?
Well, you have to understand that what destiny is. Destiny is fate. We cannot change it. So if somebody, for example, I was even mentioning to this wife who was getting divorced, I offered my help. She refused it. And that's fine. But I could see that she wasn't interested in knowing that. So it's in her destiny to go through what she's going to go through. I can only help people if they come to me. And like I said earlier, who's to say that by having this information that these people would not be married? I think they, in other words, if it's in their destiny to come and get this information, they will. That will be part of their destiny. If it's in their destiny just to get married without this information, then they will do that. So I believe that, you know, people, this is the beginning of the second millennium. We're only 16 years into this thing. So we still have, you know, 984 years to go before it's over. And two rules, relationship. So I'm hopeful that when this work, which came through me, not from me, is being shared with people so they can create better relationships. The negative side of the number two is all about division and opposition and contention. And we have enough of that going on in our world today. But the positive side of the two is balance and harmony and peace. But in order to create that, you have to know what creates it. And I'm hopeful that people will expand their consciousness to the point that numbers, as Pythagoras said, numbers rule the universe. Everything is arranged according to number and mathematical shape. That also includes relationships. For example, if you take the periodic table of elements, all of the elements, are notated by both a number and a letter. For example, hydrogen is an element. Its atomic number is 1. Its letter designation is H. Carbon has an atomic number of 6. Its letter is C. Oxygen, its number is 8. Its letter O. Silver is 47. Its letter is AG. Gold, 79. And its symbol, AU. And so it goes for all the elements. But so it goes for each of us. Because when you think about it, our birth date and birth name are nothing more than a combination of letters and numbers, just like the elements of the periodic table. So it's very logical. It works. Numbers are just labels for energy fields. And I will say this, that you know, you hear the old saying that opposites attract. They may attract temporarily, but they don't stay together. What creates a long enduring relationship is when harmonies exist from one person to the other, each to the other, and those harmonies there's a lot of them. This myrrh is based on the quality and quantity of mutual energetic relationships. You can have a few combinations that aren't very good that can still bring people together. But to have really good ones, you have to have a lot of them. And that's what these case studies reveal. When people look at them, they'll understand that. They can go to the Ron and Nancy Reagan article and they can check that out, and they'll see that they had a lot of mutual resonating energy between the two of them. So if it's in their destiny, they will use this. If it's not in their destiny, they won't. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you talk about enduring marriages, and just share with us, whether it be someone famous or not for the moment, but just a relationship that you'd like to share.
Okay. So in preparing this book, I went back to my archives, and the study that I did back in the 80s, which has been sitting in my file cabinet, is still there. So I pulled out 10 of those relationships just to use examples. And one of them that I mentioned in the book, which is on page 259, is from a couple named Catherine and Harold. I don't give last names. I don't give any other information. I just use first names. So I don't want somebody to be exposed. And when you look at their marriage, it is no wonder that it works. They have a total of 56 connections between them. Some people have as little as 9 connections, but those are not good relationships. They will never last. These couples also have the number one ingredient of all great relationships. That ingredient is what I call soul release. That is when one person's soul energies, or material soul energies, there are 2 layers there, match either the other person's life path or their expression or their PE. All of this is explained in the book. And so if the other person, as in the case of Catherine and Harold, they both had soul release. That soul energy is the most important number I look at in a chart, because it defines a person's needs, wants, desires, and motivations. And I don't care how nice a person is, if in a marriage that energy is not fulfilled either through the other person, the partner, or through what I call the mix, which is the basically mix of their energies to create a marriage, then that is going to be a very difficult marriage. Person's going to be very unhappy. And when you have unhappy people and unfulfilled people, the marriage is not going to work unless there are enough other combinations to compensate for a lack of soul release. But so soul release is number one, but that's an internal release. And then you have to have an external release on the outside. That involves combinations in what I call the umbrella. That's between somebody's life path expression or PE. So in life and in this dimension, everything has 2 sides, a positive and negative. In our lives, and especially in marriages, there is an internal aspect and an external aspect. The external is this umbrella, life path, PE, and expression. The internal aspect involves the soul energies and the nature energies. And then we have to take into account voids and things like that. But the good ones, the really good relationships, have this soul release in them. And Catherine and Harold not only had that, but they had just a ton of other ones, and that's on page 259. People are welcome to see that. Now, in contrast, if you go to a chart, and this is in the book, this is the marriage between Tiger Woods and Elin Nordegren. It's on page 285. This is one of the five examples I give of celebrity marriages that ended in divorce. Now, I have no judgments as to why people get divorced. That's not my job. I am just attacking this from a energetic standpoint, a numeric standpoint. So from a numeric aspect, this is why their marriage did not work. And there's a very clear smoking gun in this. When you look at their charts, Tiger Woods has a five soul. Now, in anybody's chart, a five soul represents variety, diversity, excitement, stimulation, freedom, detachment, the senses. Now, the thing is that Elin Nordegren in her chart had no fives in her chart. And when you combine their numbers together, they had no fives between them. So there was no way that she could understand what his most basic primary primal desires, needs, and wants were. And that was one of the basic reasons numerically why that failed. Now, if they had come to me first and they had said, Rich, do this chart and tell if this is going to work, I would have said, no, this is not going to work. Now, there were, you could see how she was attracted to him. She has some eights in her chart and he has some eights in his chart. So she was attracted to that energy, but he was never satisfied internally. And I'm not excusing anybody's behavior. I'm just telling you numerically why this did not work. And the smoking gun was that lack of five energy, that lack of stimulation that any five person who has a five soul will have to have. For example, since you brought up one of your marriages, if you don't mind me saying so.
Oh, not at all.
I won't mention any names, but you have ones and sevens dominant in your chart. The gentleman that you married at the time had no ones or sevens. He had all social numbers, and he could not understand your need to have time alone, which is what seven people need. If people who have sevens don't get time, they're going to be unhappy. He always wanted to be together. He never wanted to be apart, but seven people must have time to be alone because that's where they recharge in their own silence, their own space, going for a walk, reading on their own, whatever it is, but they need time alone. That's what's important to know about seven people. And it often, when we see relationships that fall apart, we see these things that people have that they don't understand. Now, if he were wise enough and he understood your need to be alone, he would just let it happen and then it might work, but he'd have to work hard because he didn't have any sevens. So he did not resonate with your needs to have seven in your chart, have this time alone and to be independent. He wanted you to be dependent and always with him and not engaged anywhere else in your own life. So that's why that didn't work.
That's totally understood. And if someone, I think, let me tell you the key here, I think, for everyone, is that if you hear something like this, and I will tell you, Rich, this is before I met you, but years and years and years ago, there was someone that I was involved with, and I don't know who it was that said this, but they had somehow done a chart on it of some sort, mm-hmm. And they said, if you get involved with this person, you will feel like you're in prison. And it wasn't you because, you, like I say, this was before I met you, but I will remember this always. And that, do you know that after that, my antennas went up? And I think that's one thing that I think you can help people with. It's not like you're trying to control them and tell them yes or no, but it's the antenna can go up. And you can say, you know, it's like, for instance, with me, Rich, this was after, of course, you and I have worked together, but as a seven nature and having so much freedom, when this person would say, yes, well, you know, I'm giving you your freedom. I'm giving you 20 minutes to go take a walk. And at 20 minutes, if you're not back, I'll know something's wrong. Well, that's not giving someone space.
That's right. Now, that's still control.
That's, Yeah, that's major control. But if someone knows ahead of time, when someone says to me personally, you know, this person is going to feel, you're going to feel like you're in prison after two or three, you know, years of being together. That's all it takes for me. And my antennas go up and I'm like, whoa, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing that you can do for people. And I think this is what's so powerful about what you're doing. You can give them that. Well, yes, if you do go with Joe Blow, then this is what could happen because of the numbers. And, you know, you're not dictating. You're just giving them the numbers. And I think that's powerful.
That's right. And then if one of my dear friends refers to this book as a self-empowerment book, because it puts the power in people's hands. Yes, I'm not going to tell people what to do, but I will share with them the knowledge that I have gained, which has come in a, you know, pretty steep price. I've been doing this for 36 years, just addicted to numbers and studying this information. It's not like I picked it up 6 months ago and wrote a book. It's based on, I think, really sound judgment and what numbers truly represent, which are energy fields. So if it makes you feel any better, I've made the same mistakes. I had somebody tell me, you know, don't get married to my second wife, but I did. But still, after that marriage, then I realized I need to really dig into this and find out what's going on. So once you have it, you have the knowledge. It's better to have it than not have it. It's how many people go to a concert or to Disneyland or a ball game. All they got to do is, this book sells for $30 on Amazon. Take a day or two to read it, learn how to do the process. And within minutes, you can know anything, not anything, but you can know whether the relationship is sound or not sound based on the data that's in this book. And if you don't want to believe it, you don't have to. I absolutely believe it because I've spent a great deal of my adult life understanding it and working with it. But that's up to the person. So if they choose to go ahead and get married, and I suggest not, that's their choice. That's therefore in their destiny to do that. So I've got no issues with them.
No, I understand that. I'm just profoundly in awe of it, because I know the power of the numbers, and I know how important understanding yourself is. Now, I will share this with you, too. I know that this is about love relationships, but you had mentioned earlier that it's also about relationships. And you know what? Before I see Andy's online, one, I do want to take her call, because I don't like people waiting. Sandy, how are you this evening?
I am okay. How are you, Dr. Vicki? I have a comment and then a question for Richard.
Okay.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
Hi, I am fine. I was lucky enough to have one session with you, which was very, very helpful, and I hope to be working in a schedule to call you back very soon. But anyway, as you know, I am a 7, and my chart is dominated by 9s. My husband is also a 7, and I don't know if this matters or not, but he's a Leo, and I'm a Taurus. I love him better than anything, and, well, equal to my hound dog, which that's a lot of love. But at any rate, my question regards, how can I be at more peace with myself in this relationship? Because of late, I've accepted the fact that I have to compromise, because I'm a neat freak. I have to give him his space. But he's incredibly not neat. Plus, he wants to do exactly what he wants to do when he wants to do it, which when you're a couple, you compromise and you don't have everything all your way. Neither partner does. But he doesn't listen. He's a wonderful man in every other regard, and he's good to me, don't get me wrong. But do you have a suggestion how I could be more at peace with myself while I'm fulfilling my part as his partner?
Well, first, honestly, I would have to look at the charts, and then we could discuss the numbers, and we, this would show up why he is the way he is, and you are the way you are.
Uh-huh.
But here's the main thing with me, and I'm no young kid anymore. I'm 67, so I've been around the block. What I have learned in my life is that the number one relationship in each of our lives is that to the divine. a relationship to God, to source, to spirit, whatever you want to call it. Because the fact of the matter is that human relationships come and go. They don't necessarily last. Now, they could last an entire lifetime, but I'm sure anybody listening to this call and all of us have had relationships that have come and relationships that have gone. In fact, if you study the writings of saints and mystics, they will tell you that all relationships have a timeline, and a relationship cannot stay together a second longer than the destiny calls for them to stay together. And then when they dissolve, then everybody goes their own way. So by being connected first and primally to that God source within, that's the first stabilizing thing that I have come to know personally, is that just be hooked up with God first, King, and then deal with everything else. If it's in your destiny to stay married, then that is in your destiny. But by knowing that we have to do our duty, there's no question, if we're married, and marriages are compromises. So, and I don't recommend divorce. If they happen, they happen. But to me, it's always God first. That connection must be there, and it hopefully will be honored by both people. And then we can work out the mundane relationship issues secondarily. But by putting God first, then we're always stable, because we don't freak out, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to have a relationship. It's very common for people, for example, men or women, and I've noticed this with people who have eights in their name, to hook up with another person before they ever leave the relationship they're in, because they always need to be engaged socially or maritally with someone, because they have a hard time living alone. So that's basically what some people do. I can't fault it. That's just what they do. But the point is that if they truly had a relationship with this divine energy first, then they would put secondarily their worldly relationships behind the primary ones, and that would give them greater peace. That's what gives me greater peace. If I have a relationship, great. If I don't, and I haven't for nearly a quarter of a century, and I'm getting too old to have another marriage anyway, I'm good with the way my life is, because that's how my destiny is going. Because I know that primal relationship is there for me, and it's actually there for everybody. But people have to know that. And a lot of times people don't put God first, and so they put human relationships first. So they've got it backwards. They don't have it primarily set. That's what I would suggest.
Okay. Also, one other question, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to just listen to you two. But one other question, Richard. I'll first admit that I have always had trouble. Dr. Vicki is the studier. I have always had trouble making myself be still and concentrate on one thing at a time. When I do it, I zero in on it, and I got it. But my question to you is, which of your books would help me in getting more connected to the divine?
It's a good question. First of all, you're not alone. Learning to be still is the hardest thing for any human being. Saints will always tell you the hardest thing to do is meditate, because you're sitting there and you have to be still and you have to learn to focus and actually stop thought. That's the whole purpose of meditation. So you're not alone. We always want to be externally out thinking about doing this or doing that. For example, I would challenge people to try to meditate this way. Make it very simple. Sit down, be still, don't move, and see if you can count from 1 to 20 and focus on, in your mind, you focus on, say, the number 1. And then you focus on the number 2 all the way up to 20. I would challenge anybody to try that and see if they could get to 20, just 20, without thinking of anything else. And I will bet you by the time they're at 3, their mind's, what am I going to have for dinner, because that's how the mind is. The mind, saints tell us, is attached to every living thing to keep it away from the eye center, to keep it away from knowing God. That's what the mind is. It's really the negative power in operation. So we have to fight against that. Now, as far as books go, of all of my books, the one that would probably help you the most in that sense would be Messages from the Masters, Timeless Truths for Spiritual Seekers. It's in Kindle format. It's also in paperback. I talk about vegetarianism, which is really important. Diet is important for learning to be still, because some foods are very excitable foods. Vegetarian diets generally allow people to be calmer than a meat-eating diet, for example. And then staying away from alcohol, drugs, all those other kinds of things is important, because those don't do our mind any good. We can't be still when we're always disengaged, when our mind's disengaged from our spirit. We've really got to get in touch with our inner self. So daily meditation, I think, is important. Learning to be still, it's just a battle. We'll do it for our entire lives. It's the toughest thing you will ever do, because you're trying to control something that's internal, not something that's external. But that's what I would recommend. That book's $9.99 in Kindle format. But I talk about vegetarian diet. I talk about reincarnation, which is absolutely a fact of existence when you look at it from a saint standpoint, and things like that. I have a section on meditation, I believe, in there as well. So I would suggest that.
Okay, well, I thank you so much, and I'm going to hang up and just listen to you two now. And be blessed, y'all. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Sandy.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I'm sure she's still listening. I just wanted to share, too, that until April 17th of 2016, and I always say that because someone might be listening to the show 2 years from now, that you are offering a relationship compatibility analysis with two names for $100, which is a big, big savings. And that's y'all have no idea how important that is. I've done it with my daughter. And I just want to share that, because until April 17th, it's $100. It's only $100. And that might be something, Sandy, that you and Paul might enjoy doing together. It could be like a gift to each other, you know, that even though you know you're going to stay in the marriage, it helps you to understand each other. Yeah, right. Understanding is, I mean, oh my gosh. You know, it's like having a child. You know, in a child's relationship, you know you're going to stay together, but understanding each other is phenomenal. So I just want to share that with everybody until April 17th, 2016. So.
Yeah, and frankly, that is a good deal. Normally, it's $199 to do a relationship analysis with two names, not two people and three or four names each, because that becomes really complex and more expensive. But any two names could be father, child, mother, child, husband, wife, business partners, as long as the full name and birth date are there. $100. I'm doing it for 2 weeks as a special to promote on your show, and also for the release of this book to get people interested. And that's pretty much a steal. You can't even go to Disneyland for $100. One person can for, I think it's even more than that. So that is. Now, in relation to the counseling, I remember that a couple came to me back in the late 80s, early 90s. It was a marital situation, counseling session. And afterwards, the husband said, "You've told me more in an hour than anybody's ever told me in my whole life." And the wife said, and this is prophetic, she said, "I wish I had known this 20 years ago, what he was like." Because, you know, here's the fact. Most people do not know what their spouses really want out of life. That's why that soul number is so vital. And if you know what that is, you can address it. If you don't know what it is, you're going to be fumbling in the dark, getting angry, doing this, doing that, because you don't know. Knowledge is a powerful, powerful thing. And when we apply it, it can help us grow and expand our consciousness. If we don't, we want to stick our heads in the sand and work life that way. That's okay. That's up to somebody's point. That's not my world. I don't want to be there. I want to know as much as I can. So I think it's best. $100 really, frankly, is a steal. It's only going to be there until the 17th, and after that, it will never come again. I really can't afford to do that. There's a lot of work involved, and it's just not worth it for me to do it for $100. But to get it going, yes, I'm willing to do that, and thank you for promoting that. If people want to know how to get that, they can email me, rich@richardking.net, and we'll hook up that way. I'll give them phone numbers, and we can talk. I'll tell them how to pay. And so on and so forth. And you can find my contact information on my website too, richardking.net.
But I also want to share something too, Rich, because I'm not going to do it now with you, but I look back on my life with my mother, and if I had understood her better, not maybe as a child, but as an adult, of a daughter, I think that there would have been like, you know, a lot of years that we could have enjoyed each other more as a mother-daughter if we had understood each other. And I share that because I'm losing my mother now. So, you know, I share that with folks because it isn't just about love, husband, wife. It could be about your mother or your father or your child that you're not getting along with, or sure, that you want to get along better with. It's a relationship, and you can savor the life of that person and enjoy that person regardless of the relationship. And I look back now and I wish I had understood her more. I understand now, but as much as I can, but wow, wouldn't that have been a blessing to have understood, you know, the person that you call a mother this lifetime, or father, or sister, or brother?
What, you know, and this, that would be. And this is a reality, and unfortunately, it's a sad one. But in talking to couples, frankly, I have been amazed at how little a spouse knows or wants to know about their other spouse. Usually, it's what they want. How come I'm not getting what I want? I need. Now, when you understand this work, and saints talk about this all the time, that all relationships in this material world are based on selfishness, selfish motives. Now, there's nothing wrong in that. But if both people have their needs met, then they will be happy. If those needs aren't getting met, they won't. But I've been astounded at how many times I've talked to people and they don't care about what their other significant other wants or needs. It's always about them. I'm thinking, this is strange. I'm going to borrow from my martial art background. When you're learning to fight, and for those people who don't know my background, I've been in martial arts for 49 years. I've taught professionally for 39. It's one of the ways I make my living. I'm still active doing it. And when you learn to fight, you want to know as much as you can about your opponent before you ever engage in combat. If you don't, you're going in blind. And I did that for a long time until I started realizing I've got to study my opponent, because my success in combat determines how much I know about my adversary. If I know nothing, I'm in really a bad, dark place, because I could be doing all the things wrong. The same thing is true in marriages. When we understand our significant other, and hopefully before we ever commit to a marriage, boy, we're in the driver's seat. And if they can understand us and we can sit down and say, okay, this is what I'm about, this is what you're about, then that's where we want to be. That's what will help make great marriages really good. Now, you can have even an average marriage to last as long as people understand each other. But people must communicate. They must understand what each person wants and not to think only about themselves and their needs, because that is a formula for disaster.
Right. And trust each other, too. You got to have that trust. I want to share now. It is Richard Rich. Let me restart that. Rich, R-I-C-H, at richardking.net. For any counseling sessions or just to talk to him about what we've been talking about tonight. And also richardking.net/books if you're looking to buy any of your books, Rich, because you have some wonderful books. And I just want to share that with everybody before we end up tonight. But I do want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing this with everyone, because it does go out on the you know, it stays on BBS for years. So folks can come and listen to this for years, and I just want to make sure they know how to reach you at rich@richardking.net, so that down the road, even though, you know, they didn't get to hear it live, they get to hear it later at a different time. So is there anything else? We have about a minute left, Rich.
Well, I would just say that all my books can also be found on Amazon at author name, Richard Andrew King.
Yes.
So Richard Andrew King on Amazon, and then you have the other information. Thank you, Dr. Vicky, for sharing my information with people. I appreciate it. Thank you again, as always, for having me on your show. I appreciate the opportunity to share this knowledge with others.
Yes, and I do, and we will be in the next month. We kind of took a break from the book that we were doing earlier on parenting, but we'll get back to that next month. And just know that everyone can go to the archives and listen to some of the earlier ones that Mr. King has discussed. And I want to thank you very, very much, because relationships are what we're all about. So I thank you. And everyone, listen Sunday nights, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, for Living Your Soul's Journey. Until then, be blessed. And again, thank you, Richard Andrew King.
Thank you, Dr. Vicki.
Good night.